the Ramban has an introduction to the second half of Sefer Shmos. Starts the introduction to Perek Chayinah, and there the Ramban writes that, you know, Am Yisrael, now that we have this bris with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, now that we're in Mamlach Kohanim and Bayi Kadosh, now that we're His chosen nation, now that we are, signed the deal, sealed the deal, made a covenant, the bris with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which took place at Har Sinai. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a couple of mitzvahs which serve as a model, serve the avos of the mitzvahs, the basic fundamental foundations of what's going on. He gave us a couple of examples of that. But essentially, at Har Sinai, we signed the covenant with Kadosh Baruch Hu, became His chosen nation, became an Am Segula, we became His Am HaNibchar. So therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to kind of live with us, wants to kind of dwell with us, wants to kind of move in into our daily life, and in a certain sense, that's what's going on with the Mishkan, with the commandment for the Mishkan that we have over here in Parshas Truma, the Kalim that all take place, and even more so in Parshas Tzavet, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking to dwell Vasli Mikdash V'Shachanti V'Socham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking to dwell amongst Klai Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking to, the Ramban also says a little different, that to continue the Har Sinai experience, that at Har Sinai, if Am Yisrael bumps into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they experience the divine revelation in an unprecedented way. No other point in world history have we ever seen anything like it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chavod v'atzmo, we met Him at Har Sinai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking to continue further that relationship on a daily basis, and that's really the purpose of the Mishkan. And that's the pasuk is Vasuli Mikdash V'Shachanti V'Socham. If you make me a Mikdash, I won't live in it. I will live amongst them, amongst the Jewish people. Whether it'll physically be in the Mishkan or not is not my point. But I'll be amongst, even if it is in the Mishkan, I'll be dwelling amongst Klai Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He gives out more responsibility, when He makes us an Am HaNibchar with a whole new message, a whole new agenda, a whole new mission. Along with that responsibility comes His love, and along with that responsibility comes His desire to live with us, and along with that responsibility comes more Shechina. There's a major machlokas if God actually can love us or does love us. The Chassidim and the Mekubalim believe in Kadosh Baruch Hu does love us. He actually loves us. He has feelings of love, and those are directed towards us as we make the bracha, Ohev Amo Yisrael. The Pesukim and Chumash that indicated as well that Kadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael. And the Rambam, many quote the Rambam to believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu is capable of loving, that is Chas V'Shalom, a heartless, angry, mean being. But rather, Kadosh Baruch Hu, quote the Rambam, he writes in Hilchos, he said a Torah that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get angry, has no path, has no schok, doesn't joke around, atzvut, doesn't get sad, doesn't have simcha, doesn't get happy. And because of your perfect being above time, so you shouldn't be impacted. In other words, philosophically speaking, says the Rambam, if you saw that this was about to happen, in other words, because you're above time, you see Hayahova be all at once. You see that the future, the past, you know everything that's going to happen. But at the end of the day, if you knew it was going to happen an hour ago, the only reason so we get angry because we didn't see it coming. We're disappointed. We're surprised. And then we cool off because we forget about it. But if you can see everything coming and you never forget anything, so ultimately there should be no change in your emotional status. That's what the Rambam writes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change in emotional status. He doesn't even have emotions. He, for sure, there certainly is no change. He doesn't get happy and sad. And furthermore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an intellectual being, not an emotional being, doesn't have any emotion. Yet nonetheless, even according to the Rambam, at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not love us because he's a being that's not incapable of love because he is heartless and ruthless, but because that's just the way he's wired, that he's an intellectual being, whatever it is. Nonetheless, even according to the Rambam, we're supposed to perceive God and relate to God and interact with God as if He loves us. And therefore, essentially, the machlokas between the Mekubalim and the Chassidim on one hand versus the Rambam is strictly philosophical as to how God is wired, how God is made up, what is the construct of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There is a major machlokas in general amongst the Mikubal and the Rambam, and manifests itself in many, many, many ways, and here's one of them. Ultimately, we're supposed to believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us. Also, we're supposed to believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu cares for us. I think the Rambam writes, the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Lokach, and the Sodiya Torah is not just to know that there's a God, but to have philosophical depth beyond that, to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and everything depends upon Him, and He doesn't depend upon us, but we depend upon Him. And to say it stronger, we say davening mechadish b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh b'reishis, and every day, maybe even every second of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly renewing the creation of the world. Or I'll say differently, but this is like kind of more of a heartwarming, fuzzy thing. Even according to the Rambam, if I exist right now, it's because I'm on God's mind. If I exist right now, it's because God's thinking of me, willing me to exist, wanting me to exist. If there'd be one second where God would stop wanting me to exist, I would cease to exist. Not to say that that's the only way God could have created the world. In other words, there's such a theory called the deist theory, which is God essentially created the world and left. It's called the clockmaker theory also. God kind of wound up the clock and left it to go. I do believe God could create a world like that. I would not say God is limited from creating that world. But we as Orthodox Jews believe God did not do that. God is still involved with the world. That's one of the major points of the Har Sinai experience, even more so the Yetzias Mitzrayim experience, and the Mitzvah for Zechus Mitzrayim is so central in our belief system to constantly remind us of Hashgacha Pratis, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved, the Kadosh Baruch Hu cares, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is watching over, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved with the world. And in a certain sense, it's heartwarming that every second I exist, by definition, God's thinking of me. With my mistakes, with my sin, with my flaws, with my imperfection. Very often people sometimes, hold them, carry the weight of the shoulders upon them because they're not perfect. There's once a kid in Wahyu who I met, who grew up in the Haredi community of Yerushalayim in Ramat Golan, one of 12 or 13 kids. Just to give you a sense, he once went to Bnei Brak to go after He went to go after Chaim Kanievsky. The Gemara writes that you shouldn't walk in between two women. How am I supposed to do it? So he told me. The Chaim Kanievsky told him, you should have machitza. Ten machitza. So he told me that, I'm not sure if he expected me to carry it around with me all the time. He's like, I've never seen anyone else carrying around with them. And even if Chaim Kanievsky himself didn't carry it around with him. Yet, nonetheless, he claims he told him. I think the standard shock is not that way. But in any event, just to give you a little bit of a mindset where he's coming from. He said, he remembers one time he was in Tel Aviv, and a Chiloni woman dropped a 5-shekel piece. He picked it up and returned it to her, and he was saying to himself, wow, Shabbat Aveda, above and beyond, and whatnot, Kiddush Hashem. Said, I looked at her and I had your worry. She was interested. I knew, and I had negative thoughts about her. And I realized once I'm no longer perfect, once I fell apart, there's no longer a reason to do anything. Because I totally fell apart with living sin. One step after another, just start unwinding downward spiral. To the point where I wasn't keeping Shabbos, I wasn't doing anything. I was about to go into the army for 3 years. My father begged me, at least go to YU. Get a career, get a college education. I'm saying, at least go to YU. So he says, I went there. I went to YU. And he turned me down. He built himself up again in YU. It's a real beautiful story, Sometimes he doesn't have time when he built himself up. He came close to a few rebbeim. He developed a little bit of a callback side. He's wearing a big, huge yarn kippah. He sings callback songs. I used to run into CSY when I was there, back in America. And he went to call. I brought him to Shabbaton. Brought him to a Shabbaton. And he's like, one of these YU guys is trying to get more yeshiva. She's like, look, I came from there. Believe me. Now I'm just like Harif, Like, really? just to give you a perspective where he came from. But I'm wondering, where did this, I see a long time to figure out, just because you looked at a girl the wrong way, most of us, one time you heard him, how have I? One time I had your heard him and saying, one time I looked at a girl in the front, that's like, momish, I said. I remember I once had a friend who was talking to me and brought her closely. He said, there's only going 1 year. He was like crying, crying and lamenting. I'm total wreck. And they asked him, what are you doing? He's like, I'm doing tshuva for the 4 hours and 37 minutes I wasted this year. My chavrus was like, my friend was like, if I would waste that in 5 hours, I'd be happy with myself. I'm like, this guy, again, it could be I think we're more than one. Stop with, Shmir Tainayim issues more than one. you know, we're finished, we're done with it. We just finished Shovim, so it's a little bit of an inappropriate time to talk now. Shovim, Shmos, Erebo, B'Shalach, Yisro, Mishpatim, Shovim, for some reason, I don't know exactly where the Minah comes from. They talk about Shmir Sainayim, they talk about the Hirurim, which we finished up, so we just finished up Shovim, so people are sure probably much more Nizhar and all these issues, but still, not much one time, where to come from? And I wonder, some people, if they have, I, that's not me at all, I don't have a mindset. Sometimes they have a mindset, if I'm not perfect, how can God love me? If I'm not perfect, what's the value of being religious? Or if I'm not, you know, 100% at the end of the day, because God who loves you with your mistakes and with your flaws and with your imperfections. Not to suggest you shouldn't dream high. Hashkafa, that I always say, you should dream as high as you possibly can. You should be ambitious as you possibly can, but your expectations should be realistic. Where you want to be can be as high as it possibly be, but where you are disappointed with yourself, where you're happy with yourself, should be a much more realistic point. It's important to realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us with our mistakes, but nonetheless wants our success. And the more He loves us, the more He wants our success, the more He gives us, empowers us to be successful, the more He loves us. I think that's what's going on in the Ramban. The more He loves us, the more we've made a deal with Him, we've signed the bris, we've became the Dama Nibkar, Am Segula, all of a sudden now He wants to live amongst us. He wants to live with us more and more. It's difficult to understand this relationship a little bit, that Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us and wants our success. Where is that? How do we understand that? How do we make use of that? How do we come to grips with that? What does that mean? How do I like relate to that in any regular way? So I'm a big believer, but that's the reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us parents. There's a Sefer HaChinuch, I may have mentioned this 2 weeks ago, Parshas Yisro maybe. The Sefer HaChinuch seems to indicate that one of the major elements of Kibud Av V'Aim is the fact that we have a way of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he also explains a very difficult Bar Torah that I never really understood. You know, if everyone thought, was asked, why is it the first five of the Dibros are all Ben Adam and Malcolm, and the last five are all Ben Adam Chavero? Yet Shabbos, Shabbos is finally coming forward, but Kibud Av V'Aim, which is number five, that sounds to be really Ben Adam Lev. Chavero, so the Kli Yakar, and everyone else writes, everyone else, and everyone I've ever heard me answer this question, but I think I saw the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Kibud Av V'Aim because they really, like, basically find the Gemara Kedushin in the end of the Kasperet, the Dalam, Lamal, Balbay, somewhere around there. The Gemara writes that there are three partners to a marriage, right? Your mother, your father, and God. And the obvious question is, just because there are three partners to a marriage doesn't mean honoring two out of three is who you honor the third. In other words, just because your father and mother helped create you with God's help doesn't mean that when you honor your mother, it's been other than helpful. She's still your mother, not God. You're still honoring her, you're not honoring God. You wouldn't say honoring God is been other than Chaver because you're honoring your mother as well. So just because they're all partners doesn't mean anything. I mean, it means that, you know, you should recognize that, that's the point, but it doesn't mean that the Kibud Av V'Aim becomes Ben Adam L'Malkom. So the Pshat, I think, is based upon the Sefer HaChinuch, that the reason why God gave us parents, philosophically speaking, is because God had a very difficult psychological challenge, which is, how do you make man, how can one make man understand what it is to have a creator without coming out of his hiding place more than he wants to? How is man going to understand what it means, someone who created him, someone who loves him, someone who raises him, someone who wants his success, someone who cares about it, someone who nourishes and feeds him, someone who clothes him, someone who wants to see him be successful? How is man supposed to relate to God? You know what the answer is? You want to know what it means to have someone who created you? Your parents. Someone who raised you? Your parents. Someone who wants to see your success? Your parents. Someone who, you know, Kibud Av V'Aim is not just calling your mother once a week or four, once a day, these days now we have cell phones, and wishing her a good Shabbos and, you know, telling her something important about your daily schedule. You know, I'm having a good machina this week, and on one hand it was good and bad and whatnot, and this kind of Shabbos I'm going to wherever. You know, it's not just calling up your parents and when they come in, offering them a glass of water. That's definitely tachlis how you do Kibud Av V'Aim. That's a critical mission. But it's also recognizing what it means to have someone love you and care for you and just genuinely want your best interests. And what it means to have a relationship with them. What it means to appreciate that. And it's not by chance that there's ahava. It's not by chance that there's coveting yira in both relationships. Like the famous Rashi, you know, why does it say, ish as a vivim up to yiro versus coveting the vicham yitnach? Rashi says, because intuitively, naturally, we want to honor our father more. Intuitively, naturally, we want to I'm sorry, intuitively, naturally, you want to fear your father more as a positive caveat to become Yechinacha. Intuitively, naturally, you want to love your mother more as Ish as Aviv Imov Tiro. Imov Aviv Tiro. Ish as Imov Aviv Tiro. And it puts your mother first by Yiras to help create a balance, but intuitively, naturally, the way we're wired, the way we're created, the Kodesh Baruch Hu recognizes your mother's more of a loving figure and your father's more of an awe-inspiring figure. That's one of the reasons the Torah believes in, one of the reasons, why not the only one, you know, not same-sex marriages, but beyond that as well. But each of the parents is supposed to represent different models, and together they're supposed to also comprise that, you know, Yira and Kavod, which also is not just by chance related to God, and it could be having a relationship and recognizing that relationship with your parents helps you recognize God. I also believe that there's a strong correlation as to how you look at your parents and how you look at God. People who think their parents are disappointed in them often think God is disappointed in them. Not always, but often. People who believe their parents are proud of how well they're doing and accept you no matter what, unconditional love, think often God in the similar terms. It's not always true, but it often it is. That's just one way of helping understand what it means that God loves us and cares for us and wants our success. There's an interesting Ramchal. The Ramchal in the beginning of Derech Hashem writes, why did God create the world? A very deep philosophical question. Why did God create the world? So there are other things that disagree. The Rambam writes, we cannot understand that question. It's physically, psychologically, conceptually, you know, beyond our capability, beyond our comprehension, beyond our understanding, human mind cannot possibly fathom why God would create a world. But God has a different answer. Ramchal writes, it's because God is a perfect being, and part of being perfect is to do good to others, and therefore God had to create being to do good to. And if that's the case, God should have created the ultimate perfect goodness to give to us. And the answer says, Ramchal, he did. It's called the Olam Haba. And in order to properly take the best out of it, not just a lot of it, but the best out of it, you have to earn it. So Ramchal then takes a little bit of a curveball a little later on, he says he kind of lost it with us, but leaving out that side, he said, ultimately, I come as well to as a benevolent, an omnibenevolent, a giving, a caring being, and created the world for us to have opportunity to excel in order that we should be able to get Olam Haba. What is that Olam Haba, says Ramchal? The ultimate good, which is the vacant and closest, and the Nanam Yidim Shkinata. The sin to become close to God. And it could be, the more God wants us to become close to Him, the more reflective of our love, which is coupled with, the more He wants us to do His will in this world. And everything kind of ties together, snowballs and impacts off itself. One of the major messages of the Mishnah, certainly according to the Ramban, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, I want to dwell amongst my chosen nation. I love you. I care about you. Again, whether philosophically God can love, He just expresses towards us love, not that we should feel. It's a philosophical, theoretical difference and not hapless. How we should relate to God any differently. The message of the Mishkan, the message of these parashiyos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after He makes us His Am Segula, after He makes us His Am HaNibkar, after He selects us and makes us His chosen special children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the whole world. But the more responsibility, the more He loves us, Ohev Amo Yisrael. It's important to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu empowers us because of the cause and effect of His love for us. He loves us, and therefore He empowers us more, and the more He empowers us, the more He loves us. I think very often we come to Hashkafas HaTorah. We get caught up thinking about things along the lines of, is the Medina a good thing or a bad thing, or a great thing or an average thing? And how much should I spend going out and doing kiruv in the world? And how much should we value secular knowledge and nada and things along that thing? These are important hashkafic questions. Maybe we get more press coverage because they're debating. You know, how much is secular education valuable? While you a good option, should you remain in yeshiva? Should you go to a secular college? That is there room for such a thing in Hashkaf Tatova? And what potential risks are there? And are those risks worth the potential upside? And those are the much more debated Hashkafic points. Should you learn only Gemara? Should you learn Tanakh and Machshava? How open should you be towards the world and news and newspapers and things along that nature? But the basic Hashkafic points that everyone agrees upon, sometimes we overlook. Which are they? Some of them are. God exists. He loves us. He wants our success. And it's expressed through Sefer Shmos very clearly, according to the Ramban. Not just is the Mishkan where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to come dwell with us, but the entire theme of Sefer Shmos is to start off as the book of Galus and to conclude with Geula, the climax, the zenith, the paradigm, the ultimate. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelling intimately with us, loving us, caring us, having a wonderful, warm relationship with us. It may be difficult to fathom. It may be difficult to comprehend. Parents, I think, are a good way of, on a level that scratches the surface, beginning to understand it. And again, depending on your parents, may make it easier, may make it more difficult. But ultimately, these parashios, you know, Truma and Tzavet, Vayakel and Bukud, there's the Kadosh Baruch Hu marrying Klal Yisrael, and all the Midrashim, and the Mamre Chazal, and all the Chiddush stories about that. The love and care. It really is a two-way street, but particularly HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I love you, I want to be involved in your life. It's not something easy to appreciate, or easy to feel, easy to accomplish, easy to achieve that. But I do believe that's one of the major messages of these parashiyos, and to have it at the forefront of our mind, and to remind ourselves of it, to be cognizant of it, and to use our parents as ways of appreciating and feeling that love. Rebbeim as well, almost secondary to parenting in this particular aspect. You know, Parshas Truma is as good a time as any to reiterate those thoughts, and reiterate those hashkafas, and reiterate those ideals and ideals and values of the Torah, because the Baruch Hu loves us, cares us, and empowers us with tremendous mission as a result of and because of the tremendous love for us. Have a chance.